So, over the last couple of years, I've been writing down all the spiritual truths that the Holy Spirit shows me as I'm going through the Word of God. Now, I do this for two reasons. I write these down because in writing these things down, first of all, when I write it down, it's my way of showing Jesus Christ that I respect the revelations that He's given me. And I have found that when I respect the things He's given me, I found in my life, as I respect what He's given me, He gives me more. So that's one of the reasons that I write those things down. I also write them down because in writing down those revelations that He gives me, in writing them down, it just simply helps me to remember those things. It locks in those principles and those truths. It locks them into my very soul so that I'm able to live out those things on a daily basis. So I call these things my spiritual axioms. An axiom is simply a statement that is accepted as a truth. So all of these spiritual axioms that I've written down over the last couple of years, these are all statements that I accept as spiritual truths that I can apply and I can live out in my life. Now, at present, I have 420 spiritual axioms. Because every time He gives me something, I just keep writing it down. So I have 420 spiritual axioms. These are His truths that He has revealed to me. And I want these spiritual axioms, I want these truths to guide and to rule my behavior, my faith, and how I live my life on a daily basis. In fact, if you're here early in church, you'll see all the spiritual axioms that we put up on the screen. This is what I'm talking about. You know, we show these on the screen every Sunday before church. These are spiritual axioms. These are spiritual truths that I've accepted because He's shown them to me. Well, a couple of weeks ago, if you ever see me on Facebook, like 95% of what I put on Facebook is spiritual axioms, you know, or maybe it's a devotional once in a while. That's about it. So a few weeks ago, I put up this spiritual axiom. This is my spiritual axiom number 87, and I wanted you to see it. So I'm going to read it to you, but I want you to see it as well. So this is spiritual axiom number 87. Now, again, remember, I put up spiritual axioms. I try to put up at least one, if not two, a week. It just depends on how much time I have or if I think about it. So I put this up. And you always get comments and responses. So I put this one up. This is spiritual axiom 87. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Fear is the opposite of God, and it brings opposite results. The opposite of a sound mind is insanity. Fear makes our thinking insane. Now, I was surprised by the comments that I got in response to this. And not just the comments that I got here, but a lot of the private responses that I've had. I was surprised because of the number of people, because most of the people who are my friends are Christians. I was surprised by how many people responded in such a way to let me know that they were struggling with various fears in their lives. So 2 days later, I posted this next spiritual axiom, which is spiritual axiom number 88, for those of you keeping track. You have nothing to fear in this life because your life is His. And He has already delivered you. Never yield to fear, which opposes faith. Again, I was really amazed at the comments that I got in response to that particular axiom. I was surprised at the responses that I got from people. Fear was obviously something that people, a lot of people and a lot of Christians were struggling with. They didn't know how to overcome that fear which was holding them captive. And so I thought, you know what, I know this is something that we all, I'm not going to tell you anything with probably any great revelation today, but it's good for us to be reminded. Because fear is one of those things, I know from personal experience, fear is one of those things that if we're not careful, it sneaks up on us. It's one of the tools the enemy uses, and it sneaks up on us. So I wanted to talk to us this morning about fear, because as new covenant believers in Jesus Christ, we need not be in fear of anything. Jesus, I thank You and I praise You that You have told us. You have not. We know that fear is not of You because You have not given us a spirit of fear, but You have given us that power of a sound mind, of love, of hope, of a sound mind. So we thank You and praise You for that. And I thank You that we just hear Your words. And even beyond the words that I share, Your word that I shared this morning, as we leave here this morning, Your truths, the things that You share about fear, we walk away from here and You continue to reveal more things to us, each one of us, in our own individual lives. Because You know the things that are easy for us to give ourselves over to fear in. That we walk in victory, Your deliverance and Your victory. That we are not bound by fear in anything. And for any one of us that is here this morning, and we are in the midst of a battle of fear, I thank you and I praise you that as we sit here and as we share this morning, as your word is spoken, that there is freedom and liberty for every one of those people. It is peace and supernatural peace, deliverance from fear, that we won't and do and will choose not to walk in fear because you've given us that freedom. It is in your name, Jesus, and we praise you and thank you for it. Amen. So when I was a new believer in Jesus Christ, like I mean a really new believer in Jesus Christ, I accepted a job. I was a new believer, but I accepted a job at a Christian radio station. It was a job that I was wholly and entirely unequipped for, unprepared for, and they had no business hiring me at a Christian radio station. And I was absolutely terrified because I was sure that very quickly they would learn the mistake that they made and I would be out of a job and I'd only been married for a few weeks and I'd not be able to support my wife. I mean, I was terrified. You want to talk about fear? I was terrified. I remember the day before I started this job, I remember Donna and I, we went up to, for those of you in Perrysburg, Country Charm Shopping Center, there used to be a drugstore in there or some kind of a store like that. I just remember Donna and I, we went into that store and we bought some notepads for me to use and some pens and a folder. And I remember the fear and the terror that I had that day. And as we were there in Country Charm, and I was obviously just terrified, I remember Donna speaking to me. And Donna, she gave me a verse, and this is, to the best of my knowledge, this is the first verse that I ever memorized. This is the first Bible verse I ever put to memory. And it's one that Donna gave me because it was to help me deal with fear. And it's from Luke. It's Luke chapter 12, verse number 32. I'm going to read to you. It reads different, but I'm going to read to you the way that Donna told it to me because I love the way that she said it. It says, "Do not fear, little flock." Donna said it this way. I love this. "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Fear not, little flock." Man, that did something in my heart. I didn't lose my job, at least not then. I didn't lose my job. They didn't fire me right away. I was there for 14 years. But I learned something about fear. It's one of the first things that I learned because, again, this was the first verse that I ever put to memory to the best of my remembrance. I'm sure it is, the first verse. Even before John 3:16, I knew this. And it was so comforting to know that my Heavenly Father loved me so much that He took notice of me and that it was His good pleasure to give me the kingdom. I didn't even know what the kingdom was. But I knew that it meant that I did not have to fear because He had me taken care of. Now today I understand what the kingdom is, and this is an oversimplification, but I know what the kingdom is. I understand the kingdom is His complete victory in everything. And that is mine in Jesus. And He has also given me His authority over everything in this world. What would I fear? You know, this really comes true, especially that authority part. It really comes true when we read that same verse, Luke chapter 12, verse number 32. But I want you to see this in Young's literal translation. So it's that same verse, but in Young's literal translation it says, "Fear not," this is where Donna got it, "fear not, little flock. But listen to this, because your Father did delight to give you the reign. You have His authority." What is it that we would fear? He has given us, we understand that it was His good pleasure to give you His kingdom. His kingdom is victory in everything in this life, and He's given you His authority to reign in this world, in His power and in His authority. Why would we yield and give ourselves to fear in anything? Nobody needs to give them a definition of what fear means. Nobody needs a definition because we all know what fear is because we've all experienced fear in our lives. We understand what it is. But what we may not realize is part of the definition of fear, part of that definition means to be timid and reticent. When we give ourselves over, when we become fearful in this life, when we become fearful, we lose the boldness. We lose the ability to be bold and stand on the Word of God. It's in that timidity that we become uncertain in handling and using the Word of God. And this is why fear is such a favored tool of the enemy in our lives. Think about what fear is. Fear is the dread of something that has not even happened. I mean, fear is us. Fear is us worrying. Fear is us being concerned about something that might not even be. I mean, when you're lying in bed at night and you can't sleep because you're fearful of whatever's taking place the next day, you're fearful about something that might not even be. It doesn't even exist at that moment. Fear is apprehension. Apprehension of something that has not even occurred. Fear is our minds imagining. It's imagining things that might not happen and that might never be. Fear is anxiety over what is not real. Fear is worried about something that hasn't even taken place yet. Fear is anxiety over something that's not real. It is the agonizing despair over something that does not yet even exist and may never exist. That's what fear is. Listen to what the theologian Charles Spurgeon said about fear. Spurgeon said this, and I want you to see this so you can picture it in your mind. The worst evils of life are those which do not exist except in our imaginations. If we had no troubles, but real troubles, we should not have a tenth part of our present sorrows. We feel 1,000 deaths in fearing one, but the Christian cured of the disease of fearing. As a believer, you and I, we are set free. We are cured of the disease of fearing. It's the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. We have nothing to fear. Fear is a lie. So how can we live fearless lives if everything in this world is designed by Satan to promote fear? And it is. How then can we live fearless lives? Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And in the kingdom, you have every victory. There's nothing for us to fear. In Jesus Christ, and in the kingdom that we have, in his kingdom victory in Jesus Christ, whom and what shall we fear? So whatever it is that is causing you to be fearful today, it's not real. It's a lie. It's a deception. Fear is a worry about something that does not yet even exist. We have nothing to fear. In Jesus, we have nothing to fear. So let me ask you this. Do you feel that fear rules you more than you rule fear? Do you find that it's hard sometimes to take courage, to take the courage to stand up against the attacks of this life? Because I think a lot of us battle with fear. I know for me, fear can easily, very easily cross over from fear into obsessiveness. We have nothing to fear. We have absolutely nothing that we should be walking in fear of. So if you feel like fear rules over you instead of you ruling over fear, take the pressure off of yourself. You don't have to develop. You don't have to cultivate your own courage. You don't have to. Just take the courage that is already there for you. It's his courage. And we read about this in the book of Psalms. This is Psalm 31. I'm going to read to you verses 21 through 24. I'm going to show you this in the Amplified Bible. And think about the things in your life that it's easy to give yourself over to fear on. So this is David. Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous loving favor. When I was beset as a besieged city, as for me, I said in my haste and alarm, I'm cut off from before your eyes. But you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you for aid. Oh, love the Lord, all you saints. The Lord preserves the faithful, and in plentiful it pays back him who deals haughtily. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. You don't have to develop and cultivate your own courage. Take courage. Take the courage that is his. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. All of you who wait for and hope for and expect the Lord. In David's fear, he said he felt like a besieged city. In ancient times, when an army would lay siege to a city, they would surround that city. And they would make sure that no food, no water, no help entered into that city. And also, they made sure that the inhabitants of the besieged city could not leave. So what happened was, you would get famine within the city. There's no food, there's no water. Famine took place. And once there was famine, that gave way to desperation. And eventually, this led to death. And the more deaths that they were, eventually the city would then capitulate. Do you ever feel like Satan is laying siege to your life and withholding and keeping back all of those things that God has for you until your resources are gone, until you're starving for hope, until you feel like eventually you have no choice, but you're eventually going to wind up having to surrender and capitulate? That causes fear. If we fear, if we feel like he is laying siege to us, and he will if we allow us, but we need to remember, we have nothing to fear. We have every good thing in the kingdom. If we feel like he is laying siege to us, and we feel like we're at that place of desperation, we feel like we're at that place that is devoid of hope, we can learn from David and what David went through and what David was even saying to us. We can learn from David, because in David's hopeless situation, in his hopeless situation, he said that he took courage. And he instructed us to do the exact same thing. Now, here's my question. How did David take courage? Because I want to learn how to take courage when I'm not feeling courage in here. Follow the example of David. David praised the Lord even in the hopelessness of his situation. When he felt besieged, when he felt like he was a city besieged, meaning there was no hope, meaning things were closed off, he still, in the hopelessness of his situation, he still chose to praise the Lord. You want to take courage? Don't try to cultivate and develop your own. Take his courage. We take it as we praise him. Lift him up and praise him. David acknowledged that the Lord had heard his prayer, even though nothing appeared to change. If you read through that, nothing appeared to change in David's circumstances. But what changed was David. David changed because David chose, he made the choice to remember the goodness of God and to praise him. Even in a situation, he remembered the goodness of God and he remembered to praise him. Instead of seeing the lie that was not real, he chose to see the promises that were real. Instead of seeing lies that are not real, see the promises that are real. Now, that's hard to do because sometimes the lies are right in front of us. In the natural, they are right there. They appear to be in front of us and coming. But instead of believing the lies, anything in your life that is contrary to the promises of Jesus Christ, they are lies. I'm not saying they're not real, but I'm saying they're lies, and they may not remain. So instead of seeing the lies that are not real, do what David did. And choose to see the promises of God that are real. Even if you can't see them at that moment, they are real. They're more real than the things that take place here in this life. I'm not saying these things aren't real, but the ultimate, everything here burns up. But everything in the spiritual realm is forever. Those things are real. Those things are the things that we should take hold of. So in that last verse I read, David said to take courage. He tells us to take courage. In other words, the courage is already there. It's already been provided for us by the Lord. We just have to take it. Part of taking it comes from us making the choice to praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. When your mind is given over to fear, if there's something in your life today that your mind has been given over to fear, if you walked in here today and there was something you were fearful and worried about, if your mind is given over to fear, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus even before you see the deliverance. Praise Jesus even when you don't feel like praising him because of those things that you're fearful of. Praise Jesus, and you are taking hold of his courage. His courage that is already there for you. You see, as we take courage, fear dissipates. Fear departs from our life. And then David culminates all of this. And he shares this final powerful phrase, which we should remember. David says, expect the Lord. Fear expects the lie. Fear expects what is not real. Fear expects that which has not happened. Fear expects that to take place. But if we instead expect the Lord and we expect His promises, regardless of appearances, if we expect the Lord and we expect His promises, then we can start praising Him. If I expect His word is true and His promises are true, regardless of what I see, if I expect that, then I can start praising Him even before I see those things come to pass. I can start praising Him, and then what I've done is I have taken possession of His courage. And as I take His courage, fear, one of those tools that the enemy loves to use against us, fear, dissipates. I told you, for me, fear easily gives over to obsessiveness. But I know all the times that Don said, Todd, you're starting to obsess. And I can see that I am. I can start praising Him. I start thanking Him and praising Him even for those things I can't see. And peace comes. And all of those promises come to pass. And those things I feared and I dreaded never actually even come to pass. They never actually come to reality. How much time have I spent in my life wasting hours and days worried about things, fearful of things that never even took place? Fear is a lie. Look at Isaiah chapter 35. I'm going to show you verse number 4. Say to those who are fearful hearted, be strong, do not fear. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, He will come and save you. We are told to be strong and do not fear. That's not a suggestion. I mean, read it. It's not a suggestion. God's not speaking to us through His prophet and saying, you know what? To the best of your ability, do the best you can to be strong and to not be fearful. No. God is saying, He's already shown us, God is saying, I've given you my courage, and I've also given you the strength to take that courage. And then the very next thing we see God say to the fearful hearted, the next thing that God says to the fearful hearted is, behold, and He will come. Now look, we know that He has already come with His kingdom of deliverance in Jesus Christ. He has already come. But the word that precedes that is behold. Behold means to mentally perceive something. God is saying, behold, mentally perceive something. In other words, get a mental picture in your mind. Get a mental picture of what is real. Not the things that we fear that are not real. Get a mental picture of what is real. His truth, His promises, His victories. That's real. Get a mental picture of that. And then also, get rid of those mental imaginations of those things that you are fearing. Get rid of those things. Choose to picture in your mind. Choose to picture in your mind all of His promises that you're standing on. Picture those things taking place. Behold. Get a mental picture of those things. Behold. Choose to see every promise that is already yours in Jesus Christ, because He's given you the king. It was His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Now we see the same principle of choosing in these kinds of matters with fear. We see the same principle in the New Testament many times, but I want to show you this. I want you to see it when Jesus was walking on the water to His disciples. So let's look at Matthew chapter 14, verses 26 and 27, and I'm going to show this to you in the Amplified Bible. And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, it's a ghost. And they screamed out with fright. But instantly He spoke to them, saying, take courage, I am. Stop being afraid. When the disciples saw Jesus walking to them on the water, they were terrified. Fear is contrary to faith. Fear is opposite of faith. And that's why Jesus knew that he had to quickly change their attitude and change their minds. He had to change what they were thinking. That's why it says he instantly spoke to them. He instantly spoke to them so that fear would not get a foothold, that fear would not even have a place in their thoughts and in their minds. He told them three strong, powerful statements. Instantly, he told them these three things. Powerful. Take courage. I am. Stop being afraid. So once again, we see how important it is, how we see that we must take courage. In other words, we must take the courage that is already ours, that he's already given us. Take it. I don't have to develop my own. In fact, if I try to cultivate and develop my own courage, it's never going to be enough. I don't even have to. Just take the courage that he's already given me, the courage that is already in here. Because if you're a born-again believer, Holy Spirit is in here. That courage is already, his courage is already here. And then we see that great revelatory I am statement. And that ties back to Exodus when God said, when God revealed himself to Moses and God said, I am that I am. So here's Jesus identifying himself to his disciples, identifying himself as the Lord. In other words, he is well able and will back up his promises. And then Jesus says, stop being afraid. Because of his authority as the great I am, his disciples had a choice. His disciples, they could choose to take courage and stop being afraid. Whatever it is in our lives, whatever it is that causes us to fear, we have the choice to take courage and stop being afraid. Because he's given us his kingdom, which is every victory that we need. And he's given us his power and his authority in that kingdom. When fear rises up in my life, the choice is mine. When fear rises up, the choice belongs to me. I can choose to let my mind be given over to fear, which very quickly becomes obsessive. I can let my mind be given over to fear, or instead, I can instantly take his courage and choose to stop being afraid. To stop being afraid as I'm praising him. This is the choice. We have a choice in everything. We have a choice. Whatever it is that might be leading you to be fearful today, choice is mine. I can choose to take courage, or I can choose to let my mind be given to fear. But Jesus saw the importance of very quickly, because it says he instantly spoke these things. Take courage. I am. Know who we are in Jesus Christ. Make the choice. I can choose to stop being afraid. Look at this. This is Hebrews chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 35 and 36. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. You guys sleeping in for Father's Day? Do not therefore fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. Man, that sounds good. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. As a new covenant believer in Jesus Christ, we possess fearless confidence. You may not feel it. You may feel like it's not there, but it's in there. We possess fearless confidence. It's in here. Confident faith that the things that Jesus promised us are really ours, even before we see them done. It is the faith, the fearless confidence. It is that faith and that fearless confidence that carries us over the struggles and over the trials of this life which cause us to fear. That fearless confidence carries us over all of those struggles, and it lands us in the place of his great compensation of reward. Now, I'll talk about that in just a second, but let me give you an example. I've been preaching here at City on Hill for almost 5 years now. Before that, I filled in for my pastor at New Hope. A lot of times, I filled in for Tim Tracy. I filled in for a lot of pastors. I love teaching and preaching the word. I love it. I mean, this is the greatest joy. You couldn't give me something that I enjoy doing more than this. I absolutely love it. So I've been doing it here for almost 5 years. You know, about 2 months ago, all of a sudden, I started to get this fear. And I started to think to myself, because I love baseball, one of the axioms of baseball is it doesn't matter how good a manager is. You can have the Hall of Fame manager, but this is a true statement. After roughly about 7-8 years, they say you have to replace a manager because the team needs to hear a fresh voice. You know, they've heard the same things over and over again, and they don't, you know, they don't respond to it anymore. And for some reason, a few months ago, I started to get fearful. And I started to wonder. It's coming up on 5 years. You know, what if people, what if they're tired of my style? What if they've heard those things before? What if I think I'm getting revelation, but what if it's not really revelation to them? Or what if I'm not effective in what I'm doing? And all of a sudden, I started to get really fearful. And this, which I enjoy more than anything else, all of a sudden, I wasn't getting as much joy out of it. I still enjoyed it, but I wasn't getting as much joy out of it. And Donna saw that. And Donna said to me, she said, you don't seem to be enjoying this as much. And I thought, well, that's a horrible thing. And I thought, why am I not? And I realized, it's because all of a sudden I give myself over to these fears. And so I prayed about it. And immediately, when I say immediately, it was within an hour. This is what Jesus spoke to me through the Holy Spirit. He said, enjoy the moment with me. When you're up there, you are giving the word. I am the word. Enjoy the moment with me. It's an honor for you to give the word because when you're giving the word, you are with me. Enjoy the moment with me. And I picture Jesus standing here with me as I'm giving the word. You know, fear is gone at that point. Because it doesn't matter how poorly I give the word. It doesn't matter how badly I mess things up. Because it's his word. And I just want to enjoy the moment. I want to enjoy every Sunday, every chance I get. I want to enjoy the moment of being here with him. My point is, there are so many things in this life that it's easy. You don't even see it coming. So many things that it's easy for us to become fearful of. And that fear, in the moment it comes, if we don't instantly, as Jesus did, if we don't instantly put it to an end, that fear can make us think insanely. God doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. A sound mind is the opposite. What's the opposite of a sound mind? It's insanity. When we give ourselves over to fear, our thinking becomes insane. That's why it's such a powerful tool of the enemy. That's why it's so imperative that even as born-again believers, even if you've been a believer for 30 years, it's one of Satan's favorite tools. We need to be reminded to stand, take courage. What do you say? Take courage. I am. It's because of who we are in him. Take courage. I am. Stop being afraid. So what is our great compensation? What is the great compensation of reward? Because that sounds really good. I'm just going to touch on one part of it in the time we have left this morning. But our great compensation of reward. The Greek word that we see there that says great, the Greek word is megas. And megas is talking about measurements. Specifically, it's talking about like the mass, the weight. It's the entirety of something. It's talking about the full extent of something. And because it's speaking of measurement, this is what part of the definition. It is a large, spacious measurement. Fearless confidence gives us the full extent of the compensation of reward. Fearless confidence brings us the full extent. It brings us every good thing that Jesus has for us and that is already established for us. It brings us every good thing that is already ours in the kingdom. Fearless confidence brings us those things. It's the extent. It's the fullness. It's his kingdom. His kingdom, which was his good pleasure to give you. Fearless confidence brings us the full, the large spaciousness of that kingdom that he's given us. And this is cool. This is really fascinating. The Greek word that we see, megas, the Greek word for fear, it is tied directly to the Hebrew word for fear. I'm sorry, for great. The Hebrew word, megas is the Greek word. It's tied to the Hebrew word for great, which is rab. Rab means great. It means abundant. It means noble. That's important. It means princely. It means weighty and significant. The title of rabbi is actually derived from the word rab. And that word, it actually means, when we say rabbi, it actually means it is spoken of exclusively. Because of all that princely, weighty, noble, it is to be spoken, it is spoken about Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. Now, we're taught that rabbi means teacher, and that is a part of it, but it's just a part of it. Rabbi does mean teacher, but rabbi also means this, or at least the word rab and rabbi means this. Rabbi means my, so there's personal, my great one. My great one, full of knowledge. So because of your relationship to the great one, Jesus Christ, because of that relationship, you have the full, you have the entire compensation of reward that is yours in the kingdom of God, that is yours because of Jesus Christ, as we operate in fearless confidence. Does that make sense? This is what the word says. This is what the word represents. This is what great is. Fear not. Fear not, little flock. Because there is no limitation. In the kingdom, there is no limitation to the good things, to the blessings and the promises and the victories that He has for you. Fear not, little flock. Receive the unlimited blessings and joy and goodness of all of the things of the kingdom that it's His pleasure to give you. It is the full extent. It is the entirety. It is the large, spacious area of His kingdom that is already in you. All of these things are already in you. Everything that you need, take courage. Everything that you need is already in you. Listen to this, final verse. This is Luke chapter 17, verse number 21. Nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. This kingdom, all of the promises, everything that you need is already in you. There is nothing for us to fear. Fear is a lie. So when we feel fear, when we feel fear rising up inside of us, when we feel that fear rising up inside of us, choose, make the choice to behold, to picture, to get a mental picture of His promises, to get a mental picture of the good things that He has, the victories that He has for you. Get a mental picture, not of the lies, but get a mental picture of the deliverances, of the victories, of the promises. Get a mental picture of those things. And then take hold of His courage as you praise Him even before seeing those promises come to pass. Praise Him and you take hold. You possess that courage. And in that, we can do what Jesus said. Stop being afraid. Amen. Lord, we thank You and praise You for Your word. We thank You that we are free from fear in all things. And when fear starts to rise up inside of us, we take hold of Your courage as we praise You and thank You. You be glorified, Jesus. In every one of our lives and for the deliverances You've provided, let us see them, be strengthened and encouraged as we behold Your promises. We see them in our mind's eye, and in doing so, we see them realized in our lives. And we give You the praise and the glory in advance, in Your name, Jesus. Amen and amen.